Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 22nd on the West Coast, now April the 23rd on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, especially you ladies and gentlemen in the U.S. military. I think you're going to find tonight's show extremely inspiring and very interesting as well. Also, we'd like to welcome those listening on blogtalkradio.com. Before I bring on tonight's guests, we actually have two guests tonight. I would like to reference a couple of things. First of all, many people are asking, when is your next Eisenhower piece coming out? And it looks like it's going to be posted up tomorrow. Cutting myself some slack, we'll say by tomorrow evening at the latest. It may be up earlier, and if it is, I'll send out a few notices. And you're going to want to really check this one out. It's supported by tons of documentation, and I've said to some people, and it's been remarked by them without provocation, that we're going to have to rewrite some history books. And so I'm excited about the truth getting out and people really seeing what's been going on in this country for the past 120 years at least. This is a massive amount of research. It took me 2 months longer than planned, and I got some help from outside on this as well. And I can assure you that when all the dots were connected, they stayed stuck together. Now, some people have been asking me what my thoughts are on this Iceland Earth event, the volcano. And there was a series of pictures published by the BostonGlobe.com, 18 of them, in fact. And the first one has a very mysterious-looking lightning bolt, or several lightning bolts, right over the opening of the volcano. And I don't know about you, I've never seen such a picture before, but it certainly looks like that somebody was playing some harp music while all this was going on. It's been indicated by the United Galactic Federation that this was an orchestrated event, as we correctly reported on Evident Footprints several nights this past week, and pretty much ever since the event. I've heard rumors, we may discuss this to some extent tonight, about put options having been played on the European airlines. And I made a comment on a show that at the rate of $200 billion a day, every 5 days, this would cost $1 billion in losses to the airline industry over there in Europe. And wouldn't you know, it lasted exactly 5 days. And then they gave the all clear that it was okay again to begin flying planes. Of course, they had an international NATO-sponsored event going on there with joint militaries from all over Europe, and that didn't seem to impede those military exercises. So what was really going on? Well, it was more financial warfare, as I see it, and these evil beings that pull the strings and do these dirty deeds don't really care what they do, because they don't really own this planet. They'd like us to believe they do, and they've been controlling it, there's no doubt about that, for thousands of years, but those days are numbered. They're ending, and we're going to talk about that tonight. I've had a special request to repeat a piece of music that I played at the beginning of last night's show in tribute to Don Harkins. Don is a mutual friend of myself and tonight's guests, and the lady that brought us together, Marianne Ponder. So I'm going to dedicate this to Marianne Ponder and Don Harkins tonight. This is the song that sums up who these people are in their elite bloodlines.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother because she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to Dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who of course was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It's a funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run. And he became my grandchild because he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue. Because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild. And every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody! I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey! I'm my own grandpa.
I love that. Everybody! I think everybody's going to be singing this song before too many days or weeks pass by. That goes out to our dear friend Mary Ann Ponder, who was responsible for bringing myself and our guests tonight together on several radio shows. In fact, both of these gentlemen at one time or another have been hosting their own radio shows. First guest, who's my regular Thursday night guest, is a former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. He hosts a Marines Disquisition. Drew Malone Reigns III, and our second guest, Greg Evenson, used to have a show on RBN called Voices from the Heartland. And both of these gentlemen are here with us right now. I'd like to invite you both to the mic and say good evening, gentlemen.
Well, wait, no, Greg.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Don. Good to be with you.
Good to have you.
I just want to play my drum all day.
That's a great song. That explains a lot about Obama.
It explains a lot about a lot of these characters.
Sure does. That's great.
Well, you know, we need a little levity because we're going to be getting into some serious stuff here tonight. And I know, Greg, it's been a while since you've been on the show, but you always give us an update on what's going on around the country. As well as around the world, certainly what's happening here is having an impact on the rest of the world, and the rest of the world's goings on are also impacting us. What would you like to share tonight? And you know, this is an open discussion, so we don't have to be so formal. You know, just jump in when you think there's a little bit of airspace.
Sure. Thanks, Don, and it's sure good to be with you all. Don, I guess as one state police officer said to me about 2 weeks ago, I said I couldn't figure out why we were on notice for more training than we have seen over the last 2 years. The scenario has been straightforward. What do you do? How do you contain a massive number of people that are all stranded as the result of a collapse of the transportation grid? And he said, why that? Why now? And that was kind of a rhetorical question. And I said, well, what is happening around us that would make that reality something that you would have to train for? And then it became obvious that through quite a number of reasons, The organizations across the country that do business on a regular basis with our the agencies in Washington, including Homeland Security, have reached a point where we are standing at the doorstep of some event of such magnitude that it is even throwing the state police organizations into overtime trying to get ready for it. I'm not going to speculate tonight, fellas. There's all kinds of reasons, natural, man-made, political, military. It makes no difference where it comes from, but I will tell you, and I am here to assure you, that there is training going on to meet a catastrophic event. And so with that in mind, I just want you to know that tonight I think we're edging ever closer to the moment when we find the true reality of everything. I know, Don, that you have talked about over the years, and Drew, you certainly have. It's an amazing time in which we live, and I know you fellas believe this, and it's what I promote all the time. I want people to be ready for whatever it is so that we can get through it together.
Now, you mentioned a collapse of the transportation system. This, of course, is in no way a reference to stuck accelerators on Toyota vehicles. What information have you been able to glean as to what might be in the works, or from what these men are being trained to do? What if the system is going to collapse? How is that going to exempt the vehicles that law enforcement is going to be using?
Well, in fact, Don, there has been some effort made to quote harden, close quote, some of the vehicles that are being used by these very organizations. When you have a scenario that leaves 5,000 vehicles stranded on the beltway around a major city in the Midwest, and the ensuing crowd of people that are going to invade a local neighborhood or a business district, the resulting chaos is just in that one area would be immeasurable. And if you add to that planes are grounded, and that there is a reason that people are refugees in American cities, and what are we going to do with these folks, it can only be speculated that there is an event planned or anticipated, you decide, that would put these agencies in such a position that they would have to do what they've done. I was recently on another show, and a lady came on and joined us who is from the state of Missouri. She's an attorney there and has been very heavily involved with the state legislature in Missouri. And, of course, you are aware that Missouri is one of the states that had the bumper sticker ordeal going on. And she said on that program, she said, Greg, I can tell you, not only have I worked with the state-level people, but I've also been working back and forth over the years with various agencies at the federal level. And she said, you are absolutely correct. I can verify that tonight on the phone. And so it was good to hear that, certainly, but by the same token, she said, and all I can tell you is that is just the tip of the iceberg. So with that little bit of a tease out there, I guess, folks, you know, even though I'm privy to information that you may not be, I don't have all of the answers. I certainly don't have all the pieces to the puzzle. It is one more piece. It is there, and we have to deal with it. Whatever that ultimately means, again, it comes right back, Don, to the fact that people must be mentally, emotionally, physically, and most importantly, spiritually ready for what may come upon us.
Well, it's very serious what you're talking about. Now, I want to stress to the listening audience that you are not a fear monger. You're not trying to scare people, but there's definitely a serious tone in your voice and in the message. And I can tell you, over the past 4 years or so, really longer than that, really since 9/11, but over the past 4 years, during my research, and I could be working on something that I insist that I don't get interrupted, and I have to get sidetracked on something, some intuition or some mission that I'm on to snuff out or sniff out a false flag event. And these go on all the time. They're being contemplated day and night by these demons that are ruling the world, and they could care less about who dies and who suffers. They gloat, and It's an insatiable thirst that they have to witness human suffering. So if we understand that, then we can easily identify what they might do. We can speculate, sure. But there have been several attempts to set off nukes around the world, and they are setting them off. Haiti's an example. Chile is an example. Indonesia is an example. China is an example. This is going on all over the planet. These people are desperate. So we need to look at what's really going on. They're very worried that they're losing their iron-fisted grip on humanity. And that's because they have. Drew, do you want to comment on this?
I'm right on the same page. I have had several chief of police and officers that are members of the sheriff departments, and I'm not going to mention what state or county or parish, because I already know that this show and all the shows that I've been on recently, including those shows with Wind Talkers in Australia and in Ireland, have been recorded and turned over to different agencies, and they're concerned of how much information that we know. And the officers that have contacted me have asked me about how to protect their automobiles that they use in law enforcement. Faraday cage has come up many times. Those of you that don't know what a Faraday cage is, you might want to do your own research and find out how to do a Faraday cage up. You can easily do one with just chicken wire. Doesn't take rocket science to put one together. Does not take rocket science to understand what a Faraday cage is for. It blocks electromagnetic dispersions and will protect your electronic equipment. The easiest thing to do is to make sure your electronic equipment is inside the Faraday cage and turned off from all power. The bottom line is that everything Greg is mentioning, I'm hearing in spades. And when these officers get in touch with me, they're not really getting in touch with me about a Faraday cage, or they just it just mushrooms over to the fact that they understand that there's going to be people stranded, and what's the best thing for them to do? And I say, hey, look, man, get you a bicycle and an electric motor on top of it, or not on top of it, but on the backside, just like the Chinese have, because that's what we're going to get back to is horses and bicycles and wagons in the very near future. People just don't believe me. They look at me like I'm nuts.
Yeah, Drew, I need to make sure that you got your mic adjusted correctly, because your volume dropped off about half the level right in the middle of your statement. We could hear you, but got a little soft.
Well, you know, I've been having that problem for the last 3 or 4 days here. I think we're just being attacked, or we're possibly have some bad equipment on the old computer. But we'll work on it on this end.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, what you're saying I'm hearing all over the place. You know, what are they afraid of? Oh, you know, when you say what we know, well, you mean beyond our education, beyond the propaganda, we might know something? We've not all fallen for it, hook, line, and sinker. Maybe in earlier days we did. You know, in days of peace and prosperity, we did, but why are they so hell-bent on keeping people from knowing the truth? That's a concern, because with all the technology they have, they haven't been able to stop us from learning the truth. I'm a perfect example. Greg's a perfect example. You're a perfect example, Drew, and I can name on all my fingers and toes and the hairs in my head other people that know the truth.
Yep, and all the Marines and the military personnel that are getting in touch with me from around the world asking questions, like today on the radio show, my show, and right toward the end of the show, we had an IM come in from a Marine in Afghanistan and asked Bob Chapman, you know, why is the military guarding these poppy plants? Because that's all he sees that they're doing. And it's a 300, and the eye almost fell out when Bob Chapman made the comment. It's a $300 billion industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's been going on for thousands of years. They've ruled the planet with that. And, you know, we're talking about the heroin industry and all the derivatives of that. And that's a primary source as well, not just for the illegal drug smugglers, but also for the pharmaceutical companies. They have many, many derivatives that they create using that, and the markups are 50 to 60,000%. You know what they actually invest in this stuff. It's absurd and obscene what they do. Greg, do you want to comment on that at all?
Well, I do, and thanks, Don. Look, it is the old axiom of follow the money, and each time you will arrive at the doorstep of the answer. Clearly, we have one more time been enlisted to act as enforcers over there for the drug trade, and it is such a tragedy that this continues, but it is not surprising, as you've just mentioned so correctly, that this has been going on for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So we're not to be surprised. But by the same token, the end result for all of us is that our men and women are tied up over there, our treasure is being tied up over there, and to what end? This is not so much geopolitical anymore as it is geoeconomic. And we just see this end result time and time and time again. We are investing as Americans in the illicit drug trade, and the money, as you said, obscene amounts of money being funneled into a very narrow group of super rich, super elite, super powerful people that are making sure that this goes where it's supposed to go. What I just wish. Once I've prayed many times, and I wish that there was some way that we could just step away from that, pull our people home, and get back to the balance, the effort to balance all of this in the American's mind, that the good that we're doing is for our homeland, the good that we're doing is for our own people, the good that we're trying to do is something that is so clearly good that just for once in my life, I could see the American effort as being righteous instead of unrighteous, and that's what it really boils down to in the end. But we're facing that time one more time, gentlemen. That it's upon us. We have no control over it, and we have to deal with the end result. And again, that goes back to my theme of being ready, as prepared as you can. And that's all that I do, Don. As you're aware, I travel around the country trying to help people do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm very appreciative of that, too. I know, trust me, I know what's involved. You know, we're fighting so many things right now. I say fighting because, you know, we've been living under a repressive system all of our lives. If you just talk about the people that are alive on this planet now, there's not a place on the planet where there hasn't been sort of an oppression, whether it's overt or covert, it's been there.
That's
and
right.
I think many Americans, because they've been led to create or to follow a reality that's been created for them to look at technology or look at idol worship as something to be strived for. To say that you have a fulfilling life or a successful life, that you know, your attention has to be on these people whose images are projected onto larger than life screens, and you see these people larger than life, and your subconscious mind sees these people as important. Yet they deal in an industry, and I'm talking about the movie industry, for example, and to an extent the media in general too. Anything that comes through a picture tube or on a screen is intended to give you an image. And your subconscious mind is controlled by that. and you don't really get a grasp on who you are. You see, all these methods have detached us from who we really are and our connection to the all of the universe, to our Creator. The individual that those of us on the side of light know as God, that same name is being used by those that are oppressing the society on this planet. And this is one of the most evil places in the universe, if not the most evil place. Their God, or their use of the word God, implies Satan. And they don't tell that to us because it's their little secret. You see, they want to know what we know. Many of us are quite aware of that. The average individual isn't aware of it. He hears it in his church. He hears the preacher go up every Sunday after he passes the offering plate and scatters guilt about the place, that people are going to be looked down upon if they don't give, and it's always money. And then, therefore, they have to sit there and listen to more propaganda or lies about the true nature of who we are and the true nature of God. This is, they've very cleverly disguised a system of organizations, and that's part of what I've written about, by the way, that is every bit as corrupt as the central bankers or the pharmaceutical companies or the oil companies or the corporations in the military-industrial complex. They're all playing supporting roles with each other, and most people are beyond redemption, we'll say, in that sense, bringing them out of that.
The end result of that is that the good men and women who are put in the theater of conflict and combat are the ones that are paying the ultimate price, literally and figuratively. That is a tragedy, again, beyond almost description. And I've tried so hard in all of the broadcasts I've ever been involved in not to denigrate the role of the military person, because they are as much victims, if not more so, of this whole thread that we've just been talking about as any of us are, certainly, because they're putting their lives on the line in the name of the United States and the mission that has been painted for them and that they're actually involved in. And you see, there's no fallback line for them. They have to be there. They are the ones answering the trumpet's call to go into battle. And I want them to clearly understand that I support them, and I support their efforts to be solid peacekeepers where they can. The rest of it, I let them to decide about. They know that every day they wake up and have to go again into the field. And Drew, I know you're acutely aware of that, and I see that as one of the greatest tragedies here, that are not only our treasure, so what, it's our men and women that I'm concerned with that are having to wave the flag on this.
Yes, well,
and we have a problem. If you don't mind me chiming in here,
go ahead.
We have a problem out there because, Greg, we've got so many young men, 18 to 25. I say that not in any in education or immaturity. These men, 18 to 25, don't have role leaders, real leaders. They're missing their fathers. They're missing their mothers. They're missing their spirit, the spirituality. Many are braggadocious. Many do not see that they're being used. My great-great uncle, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, said the words very distinctly, and I chime in. Some people get tired of me saying war is a racket, but that's exactly what it is.
That's right.
And many young men, 18 to 25, and then some that are up into their 30s, immature, do not see the carnage that they're causing, even on their own selves. At present, I give two examples. One is in Colorado. One is in Florida. Two men. One is a sergeant, United States Army, 14 years in the Army. Decorated, 22 combat decorations, 22, with three Purple Hearts being guarded by four men on a shift, 24/7 in his barracks, locked in his room, and these guards have never been in combat. They have never been shot. They've never left the United States. And these guards are guarding this sergeant, decorated war hero from Afghanistan and Iraq, because he has got a PTSD syndrome, and the Army is trying to get him out of the service as under a...
Okay, now we lost Drew there. Greg, are you still with me?
Yes, Don, I am. He was just all of a sudden gone. He was making a wonderful point, though, that, again, this is the end result. And, Drew, if we're able to get you back here pretty quick, I know you're right on point with that. Don, no matter whether you, as the absolute research guru of all time, I'm telling you, I'm just always amazed at what you can come up with. Whether it's that thread that is reshaping history as we know it and confirming or not confirming things that we've always taken for granted because it was in front of us in a book. What I'm just absolutely excited about is this latest round of research you've come up with. And Don, thank you for putting the hours and weeks and months into this that are going to change the lives of many people.
Well, there's no doubt. I'm going to comment on that. I thank you for your compliment. We got Drew back, so I want to let him finish.
Oh,
he knows
good,
pretty much when he dropped. So,
sure.
Drew, are you back?
I don't know where I got dropped at.
Well, on the ground, I think.
On what?
On the ground. Did you pick yourself
up? On the ground. Okay. Well, the drum was over here. It hit me in the side of the head. The bottom line is this sergeant in Florida is being guarded by men that have never served in combat. The same thing with the man in Colorado who is a 10-year National Guardsman, and the same circumstances. The men that are guarding these guys have never been in combat, do not know what it's like to be in combat, do not have any idea what it's like to be shot or how to pick up a gun and shoot and kill somebody at a distance. And what bothers me is they are brainwashed, and I'm seeing more and more brainwashed Marines out there because they're Marines who's lost their fathers in the past wars, and they've not been raised by a combat veteran because they want to live up to their father who was killed in combat. And they think that glory is out there, and they have no clue that war is a racket. It's war is murder. War is hell. And it's hell to live. I mean, it's tough to live. It's easy to die. Anybody can die. Anybody can literally go out and blow their brains out. That's easy. Living is hard. And we're going into a situation where we don't have enough leaders out there who's got the guts to stand up, like Lieutenant Colonel Larkin, who's demanding that because he has standing as an officer in the United States Army to say, hey, look, my commanding officer can prove his birth with a long form, that he was born, and he doesn't have to have one. But the commanding officer over my commanding officers that are writing the orders for me to go to Afghanistan is this long-legged, short-legged MacDaddy in Washington, D.C., this usurper. And therefore, this Lieutenant Colonel says, I have got to know that this man has got the legal right to send me off to war to die. And we don't have enough military boys to stand up and say, they'll do it. We have enough Marines out there and enough Army personnel that will stand up and say, wait a minute here, I'm watching the state say, we are not going to abide by these laws of Washington, D.C. We're voting in the right to carry a weapon in public, a right to carry a weapon under our coat without a license. We're voting in the right to build our own guns and not be subjected to what Washington wants. We've got states that are asking, okay, well, we can't do anything now because he's in office, but when he goes to run for the presidency in 2012, he's got to prove that he is a legitimate holder in due course as a natural-born citizen. That has already been passed in Arizona. How many more states are going to do so? Greg, I know you're out there traveling around state to state in small units, talking to people, uniting people. They know what's going on. Don Nikoloff is going down the rabbit hole, but he's not going down with a shovel. He's going down with a drag crane and pulling out the swamp mud, and we're finding more and more truth out there. Marines are coming out of the woodworks around the world, Navy officers, Army enlisted personnel, and they're asking, we're talking about low ranks, privates, PFCs, lance corporals, corporal sergeants, gunnery sergeants. They're coming out and saying, wait a minute, when we were in Vietnam, we lost more men in 1 month in the United States Marine Corps than in the entire 8.5-year war in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And yet we don't have enough people saying, why aren't the news medias reporting on the kids in Arizona, the kids in California at colleges that are protesting the war? Why aren't the news media showing the protest in Madison, Wisconsin, or in Springfield, Missouri? All we hear is, well, we've got to have more taxes. We're going to put taxes on the banks. Everybody hates the banks, so we're going to tax the banks. When in the history of this nation is the banks going to pay a tax and not pass it on to their customers?
Well, they're holding.
We got too much government.
Yeah, they're holding our money. Well, I want to make a comment here, if I can, and sort of answer.
I'll shut up.
Never shut up. Don't go quietly in the night either. We're not finished yet.
I'm not going to quietly in the night.
All right. I want to respond to both of your comments. When I embarked upon this research, I started with a newspaper article that was, I don't know, 3 inches by 4 inches in size, and was replete with lies. What I intuited were lies. And so I had two names. I had the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower, and I had the name of a guy named Lonnie Roberts. And this guy was purported to be a private in the U.S. Army, and when I checked into it, I couldn't find anything to substantiate that. And I suppose that basically I could summarize the whole gist of what I uncovered. Now, I'm going to leave out the details, okay? We're going to talk about this most likely in great detail on the show with Jim Murray tomorrow. This will be a blockbuster of a show just on the basis of the amount of truth that's going to come out, and it's going to debunk history. I said in the closing paragraph of my introduction, the revelations you are about to read will not only expose the fraud committed to further Dwight D. Eisenhower's own political ambitions, they will expose a massive international plot to derail the U.S. Constitution, turning its principles over to a gang of organized Zionist, fascist, and communist thugs intent on destroying America from within. What you are about to read will require us to rewrite history. Let that process begin here. And I'm telling you, these revelations are going to blow some minds. The dots are connected, and they don't come apart once they are connected. They're super glued together, okay? So,
well, Don, one more time, I've hit on the very, I think the very heart and soul of the fact that justifies the reason or explains the reason that the three of us are on the show at all, and it happens to be at a juncture in time when we are all together. It goes to what has been driving this great engine of fascism that has been revved up for well over a century. And the result is that we have had to have the history of the country buried, changed, mutated, to again further the final end goal, the end game plan, if you will, of the New World Order, which has had to establish justification at various times through people that they have put together, changed, that they brought out of nowhere, and like this Obama character, and put in place to be their instrument of change. And so we can go back and we can feel real good about a young boy that started his life in Texas, moved to Kansas, and went on through military training and political aspirations. And we knew this man as President of the United States, five-star general Dwight D. Eisenhower. Now my history, Don, says that this was a man to be admired, and all that went with him to be something to be gloried in and to be proud of. What just chills me to the bone is that we've had to deal with the mutation of this and the fallout from it that has brought us, but it explains clearly why it has brought us to this point in time and why you are so instrumental in saying, look, there is a reason for this. Please stay tuned and watch what these reasons have brought out and what they have, the end that we have been brought to at this very moment. And that, to me, is the gold nugget amongst all the sand out here. That's what you have done to bring this to a point that we can understand why this has happened. And so as a result, we are just at a point, gentlemen, and we got some real gremlins out there tonight. But as a result of what's happening here, we are seeing this end game being played out. And so we must, if nothing else, folks that are listening tonight, if you say, Greg, this is so difficult to understand, there's so much of this, and believe me, it is for me too, folks. It's not that I've got some kind of inside understanding of all this. I'm trying to make sense of it, but where I can't, I just, it's been incumbent on me, because of my background, because of my training and all of that, that I just felt it was, I would do everything I could to make you aware of it. When we've been traveling and training folks across the country, as you may recall from other broadcasts, I do that on a regular basis. I'm going out here to small groups of usually under 50 around the country. They're good, solid, just salt-of-the-earth people that have said, what can we do, Greg, to help affect change? First of all, positive change. Nobody's wanting to stir anybody up. I don't even talk politics when we're out here at these training sessions. I train people how to build a campfire in the rain, and how to stalk game, and how to set up defensive perimeters and so forth, and emergency medical training in the field, the kinds of things that could be used anywhere, anytime. I'm not in this to make something out of nothing. I'm not there to fan the flames of anxiety. What I'm trying to do is help people that are just at loose ends. And so if we achieve that, if nothing else, then folks, we have begun the step of recommitment to a republic, and that we're going to be healthy in our attempts to do this. I don't want conflict. I don't want people battling one another. I don't want people upset with people coast to coast because they hold a certain set of beliefs. For goodness sakes, what I really want is for the people of America to just be ready so that if there is a problem, catastrophic in nature, coming from within the earth, a volcano that may well darken our skies to some extent, may alter our planting and growing of crops this year in some areas. And if that is a possibility, which I believe it is, and I know that people are coming in to the Midwest and making offers at some of the local co-ops to build up and to buy up, rather, virtually everything that's being raised in the fields this year that isn't even in the ground yet. They see something coming in. They're aware of something that I'm not privy to. I just see the ends, the little bits and pieces you can identify at the edge and say, wait a minute, this is part of the puzzle. This is what we're trying to make people aware of. We're not trying to scare you. We're trying to inform you and let you know what's happening so that you can make those life-changing decisions and choices that you're having to make, whether you want to make them or not, I'm sorry to say. But it's all part, again, as I said, all the research that Don does, and you folks are certainly aware of the monumental efforts and work that Don does to bring this out so you can understand all of this better, and what Drew is doing in his liaison work and his dedication to helping the men and women in the field of combat that are in uniform at all levels, to make them aware of their responsibility to their oath, to their country, and just to the principles of peace and morality. Drew is doing fantastic work all over the planet through our men and women in uniform. And so together, those two men alone are making a huge difference, and as we've said, I'm trying in my own way to bring people to the realization of, if you have these skills, if you fine-tune this in your life, you're certainly going to be a whole lot better off, and you can deal with this in a way that makes some kind of sense in the long run. And I just wish that we hadn't lost these fellows when we did, because together we were going to try and go tonight to help folks understand what it is that they're up against, understand a little bit better how things change almost on a daily basis, the impact of what has happened so many times that we don't know about until way later in the game, and then all of a sudden, oh man, I didn't even realize that was part of the component here, that really now I understand why my nephew is on his way to Afghanistan, or whatever it might be. We just have had it filtered down to us and explained in a way through these great shows like Don's and Drew's and the efforts of so many others. It's all part of the effort to keep everybody informed. Any hope we've got the guys back yet?
Greg, I'm back.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Don. I didn't realize I was going on and on.
No, that's
great.
Right.
Yeah. We were listening to you on the Blog Talk feed.
Okay, well, I'm so sorry, fellas. I just knew that we'd lost you, and I thought I'd go until I heard you. Well, anyway, Don, that's pretty much I'll just jump off here because you guys have been on enough. But
no.
we're where we are.
No,
because
no,
of you guys.
Stay with us here. Stay with us.
Stay
you know,
with us.
Okay.
Unless nature's calling, stay with us.
No, I'm good. Yep.
Let me say this. It appears to me that Skype didn't pay their water bill this month. So,
oh boy.
Somebody tried to take him down. It's interesting what happens when the truth comes out, you see?
Yes, sir.
It's a never-ending battle. It really is. I want to say something in regard to what both of you so eloquently described. I was going to ask Drew about Vietnam, but he volunteered it. So, you know, we're all in sync here. You know, what's occurring in America, there's this effort to disarm the people, which further weakens the people, and those with arms are being sent to other countries under the pretext that these people are our enemies because of all these contrived false flag events, you know, that are being blamed on Muslims and being blamed on terrorist organizations that were created by these international intelligence agencies, whether you want to call them the CIA, MI6, MI5, and now I see the FBI being in bed with the CIA totally, ever since really the Kennedy assassination. And then you have the KGB, the GRU, and all the other independent intelligence agencies around the country working for this singular goal. Like, they're going to get something special on the back end of all of this. And they are. They're probably going to get a bullet to the back of the head. That's what they'll end up with once they accomplish their complete goal. That doesn't have to happen. And I don't mean to demean the people that think in the military that they're protecting their country. How is being in another country killing people, women and children, protecting this country? We're making more enemies by doing that. And that's the pure truth, okay? The most they can do is murder someone who's telling the truth, or cause their computer to crash, or interfere with their communications, eavesdrop day and night. I mean, what are these beings? They're not human. A normal human does not do that to its own kind. A normal human, a peace-loving human, Yeah, and they want to call themselves our leaders. What are they leading us to? I only see destruction. I see chaos and destruction. More of the same over and over and over again. And I've said this on many other shows, and it bears repeating tonight.
Anybody want to chime in? I would like to throw in one little salient point. George Washington was our first president elected under our modern Constitution that we live by today. And as he left office, he wrote the most eloquent speech, the farewell to arms, or the farewell address. And within his farewell address, he advised the citizens of that day and for all humanity for the future that we should stay out of the wars of Europe. They've been fighting for 5,000 years. They will be fighting 5,000 years from now. That was just a short 210 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, 211 years ago. And here we are, 211 years from George Washington's farewell address, and we're doing exactly what he advised us not to do. Get involved in the wars of Persia and Europe. Period. And that's that easy.
Well, that's been warned throughout history, too. He's not the only one. That's come up over and over again. You know, I can tell you that my research has really connected this thing around the planet. It shows where the source of this is. You know, we've been hearing some recent research from H. Hu Ott, and he's been describing basically the same things that are going on and have been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years. These are ancient practices that are going on. These prior civilizations destroyed themselves using these technologies. And at this point right now, they're just not letting up. They're not letting up whatsoever. And they're trying to revive or create even more evil than they had before. Any comment?
I absolutely believe, Don, that, again, what we have seen manifest, especially in just the last few years, but certainly you could say for the past two or three at least generations, is the ultimate realization that truly history, people of the world, entire civilizations, economies, the geopolitical scene around the world has all been a grand plan, so deep and so difficult to understand that it's beyond the range of most people. But the common threads, and that's what you must look for. I certainly did that as a police officer, and when I would run an investigation, the common threads are money, the control of money, the building of empires, military power, and then the changing of the guard from what has worked, freedom and prosperity, to a narrowing of the entire picture to the control of just a few, and the realization that everything on earth is owned by and controlled by a cabal of people who have absolutely no concern for us day to day, have absolutely no desire to see us as free, destiny-choosing people, but they want to control it all, and they are very close to achieving their goal.
Yes, well, I think bringing, you know, we've had some people. I discussed this a couple of weeks back, even this past Monday on Drew's show, this topic about Eisenhower. People say, what does this have to do with what's going on today, you know, with the short-legged Mac Daddy in Washington, D.C.? We want answers for today. You have to identify what has transpired here and who's behind it, because there is a connection here, okay? These things are connected. It's the same people. It's the same political ideologies.
Right.
And the same controlling forces behind the scenes, okay? That will become clear when people read this. there's no doubt about that. It's going to become clear. So, you notice my voice is a little bit better, isn't it? Sounds much clearer now.
Yes, it does. Finally, right? We're about to end. Drew, it's so good to be with you, both you gentlemen, and I appreciate the opportunity. I just without guys like you, you're heroes in my book, simply because you're out there doing the hard work with very little help, sometimes with very little encouragement. And it's not that we do this for pats on the back, but it is kind of nice to know every now and then that we're making a difference, because in the end, that's all we want to do. We want to make a positive difference in the people's ability to understand and deal with something so completely out of their control by design, that we can leave some mark of goodness, if you will, some mark of restoration and rebuilding of our republic. That's my goal, guys. Nothing short of that.
Now, Greg, before you leave us, you have published some DVDs regarding what steps people need to take to be protected and to be prepared for any kind of disaster that may come along. Are those still available, and would you give out any information so people can get their hands on that material?
Well, thanks for asking, Donna. We've done this, gone to a lot of expense, a lot of effort and time. My wife was instrumental in a lot of that, in the recording of it. But yes, we have two DVDs. They build on each other. One is a 3-hour DVD talking about why we are where we are and the outcomes of that. Very clearly put in there, and what you can do and not do to make yourselves more physically ready for what's happening. And the second one is a nearly 6-hour training video showing the construction of these defensive perimeters, as I've said, and the outdoor aspect of it, if you will. And I give quite a monologue on the tools of the trade, firearms, and the kind of defensive things that people are going to need and what they're best suited for. Then the last element of that, probably the last that we'll ever do, is a 380-page manual that is a complement to the first two DVDs. It's all available on our website, and that is every detail, tens of thousands of words in there, describing what you can do and how you build on that, and that is at theheartlandusa.com. Theheartlandusa.com. Appreciate all that you do. If you're interested, folks, go there. If not, please get ready. You need the tools to be ready to do what we're trying to help you do a little bit better. Thanks, fellas. Been good to talk to you.
Thank you, Greg, and give my best to Liz, if you would, please.
I sure will. She's just such a great partner for me, and so I appreciate her very much. Thanks for asking, and we'll talk to you again.
Okay, you
God
take
bless.
Care. That's
God
bless. Greg, that's Dr. Greg Evenson, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm sure he'll be on another show in not too distant future.
The two Marines that just sent me an IM wanting to know who Mr. Greg Evenson was, you just heard that he is Dr. Greg Evenson. He is a former highly decorated Kansas State Trooper, retired with the Medal of Honor from the state of Kansas in his position as a state trooper. He has a doctorate degree. So the man is well-versed. He's one of us. He's been on the front lines at the low end, and obviously you don't get the Medal of Honor out from the state troopers of the state of Kansas for sitting behind a desk sharpening pencils.
You got that right.
Enough said.
Now, you got two guys actually IMing you about that? Or?
Well, they didn't know who Greg Evenson was. They hadn't heard of him. Now, you have to understand, this signal is being beamed into Afghanistan for the first time today.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad people are going to hear what's going on.
It's a few minutes. It's right at 0900 hours in Afghanistan right now.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are located.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Now, Drew, your volume did back off again to that prior level of about half of its capacity. So
yeah, I see that over here. I got a little. How's that? A little better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
It
has something to do with the Skype connection. When Skype calls, or when I call Skype, it changes the controls on the microphone.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a new phenomenon.
It's just started here recently when after the latest attack on my computer system here last weekend.
Well, maybe you can teach it to go grab you a beer or something.
Amen.
It's turning the volume down. That is amazing. The technology is just fantastic. What they can do with it these days, and yet, there's that part of us that's not technological. You know, the spiritual side of things. As Greg said, you know, that really cannot be disconnected.
Let's throw something out. He made a comment about getting together with us, and it's a little late for me to say this, but the bottom line is, we owe all of this, ladies and gentlemen, everything that the uniting of Greg Evenson with Drew Raines and Don Nikoloff, and Don Nikoloff with Greg Evenson and Drew Raines, was the inspiration and the work behind the scenes of Marianne Ponder, who had a vision of seeing the three of us out there as diehard fighters in different regions of the United States. And she tirelessly came at me and said, you gotta listen to Don Nikoloff. You've got to get Don Nikoloff on your show. You've got to stay up late and listen to Don Nikoloff. You've got to stay up late and do a show with Don Nikoloff constantly. And then, it was like, you know, Saturdays is my Sabbath day. It's not written in blood that I take Saturday off. It's just Saturday is the day that I worship and take time off to relax on the seventh day. Greg Evenson had a show there on RBN, and I just kind of take that one day off a week to kind of calm down. I finally took the time to listen to Greg Evenson's show, and it sounded like I was listening to myself. So the following Monday, I listened to Don Nikoloff's show, and I don't even know. I cannot remember how we ended up together, fact that Marianne wanted us to get together.
Yeah, I called you up, actually. I had gotten the word from Greg that Marianne had passed, and he was very concerned about it because the evidence was showing that she had been murdered. And this is the sweetest lady you could ever want to meet in your life. Drew, I don't need to tell you that. And,
oh, man.
Nor Greg. She is just a trooper. And I gave her the nickname the Link Lady because she could not call into a show. It didn't matter what kind of show it was. She would call into the show and just tell everybody, all the listening audience could, if you had your pen and paper ready, start writing down these links, and she would rattle them off from memory. She would
mm-hmm. give
all these links to the best websites in the whole world, and to say, if you want to learn about this, go to this website, and this one here has a really good radio show. She would go through all of them, and she wasn't overbearing about it, but you could count on it before she hung up the phone. She would give you some information that was very, very useful.
Oh, if I didn't have my news and views in front of her by 7:30 in the morning, she was on the phone calling me and saying, "Are you okay? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Is the internet up? Is the phone bill paid? Is the electric bill paid?"
Yeah. Well, when Greg gave me that news, of course, I called you and then we talked, and that's what opened up the door, okay?
Even that's where when the investigation started that began because we got knowledge that not only she was supposedly committed suicide, so was her Alaskan white wolf that I trained myself for 2.5-3 months and took care of, and he was put to sleep. There's something strange about this whole thing, and it the sheriff department knew me when I called up there. Like, they were apprehensive or had some anxiety that, are you coming up? You know, are you going to come up? Mary Ann was buried day before yesterday. You don't need to come up here. And it's like they did not investigate. They just run it under the rug.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people out there don't realize Mary Ann Ponder was not a rich woman. She lived month to month. However, her mother was extremely rich. And when her mother passed away, just a few short months before, she left a small fortune to Mary Ann.
And Mary Ann was going to, she was in the process of founding what she called Brother's House,
was
going to be a safe house, a place where returning veterans were going to get the kind of attention that they deserved.
And we're talking about real attention. We're not talking about just feel good, pat you on the back, ladies and gentlemen. This lady cared. She really cared. She went out of her way. She took people in. She took veterans in that were sleeping under viaducts into her house, not even knowing who they are, who they were.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, now, just for your information, Seth, there's a disable audio adjust feature on your Skype that is something that might be causing the problem that you're having, Seth says. So we thank Seth for that information, and anybody out there that uses Skype would probably benefit from knowing that. So it may be being remotely controlled. Who knows? In any event, we're almost out of time here. I think we could lighten this show up a little bit if we have a...
Hey, I got a drum. We can play my drum. Like, I want to play it all day.
Well, I think tonight...
Well, wait a minute. How about the happy organ?
Well, I wanted to listen to Gnarls Barkley. This
Gnarls Barkley? Yeah, wait a minute. Gnarls? You talking about Gnarls?
Gnarls.
You know, Gnarls is a good guy. He's not a bad guy.
I know. I want to uplift the mood of this show tonight. So if I can do that, we'll do that before we say our goodbyes and our good nights. How about that?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
I like the happy organ myself.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so funny about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Bye.
crazy. And, you know, when I first heard that, I thought that might have been a love song. But, man, the more I listen to it, the more I think he sang that to the Rothschilds and the Rothschilds.
Amen. You know.
You know.
I played it on my show. I play it on my show all the time.
Yeah.
It's breakout music.
It was just calling to me, you know, let's lighten this up a little bit and still.
Well, give me 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds. I want to play a 10 second or 15 second click.
All right. Go ahead. You got it queued up?
Yeah.
All right.